The minister's report yet, but we do say thank you to the minister for the report that has been presented. Chair, I think my first question would be, how did this came around because of problems within local government? Do we have, in order to measure improvement, a particular document prior to the implementation of Algeta? We know there were problems, but is there something concrete that we have which says, for instance, something like this report that says this is the situation, that took it down to numbers, where we can measure after a... This is also, I think, the first report that we have, a solid report that we have since the adoption of the data. So that at a particular time we can sit down and say, okay, this is where we started, this is where we are now, and look at what the improvement is. That's my first question, Chief. When we look at the audit, the AG's report, we see that there's a regression. Now, this regression, has it been, for instance, can we say it is different municipalities, it's the same municipalities, it's so that it's, that we can measure at the end of the day what is happening here. Is it municipalities that have gone, you know, got a better audit, I won't say clean, let's say a better audit, and then moved back again? What is the trend that was there? The department says, yes, that there are initiatives that are being taken and we're putting in specific programs into place to address this. My worry, Chairperson, is the monitoring. The monitoring of the implementation of the programs that are put into place. So, what monitoring tools, I would like to see the department say to us in the report, what monitoring tools are going to be in place in order to measure the initiatives taken by the department to address some of these of great concern, Chairperson, is the underspending. And underspending is new. It's been coming for a very long time that we have underspending within municipalities. So what is going to be different this time, Chair? Page 38, it says, in improving municipal performance, the department is forging a coordinated, collaborative, and integrated approach to sector departments. This is not new, Chair. It has been there. So what is going to be done differently this time? That is my question. We've always said this, to improve the working relationship and to see that all of these things are there. But what is going to be new this time? What is going to be different? How is it going to be different? And how are we going to measure it? The report on page 38, the technical people, no, that's not on 38, I think it's 33. The technical people, those posts have been filled, yes. From what basis has it been filled? So if we say 79% of the posts have been filled of municipal managers, right now, if we look at all the municipalities in the country, what is the vacancy rate right now? So what is the basis? We filled 79, but what is the basis that we work from? And where are we now in terms of all of these posts? And then in the report, I would like to see Municipal Systems Amendment Act was assented to, I think, in 2011. What has the department done since the ascension of the bill today to deal with issues that the Amendment Act speaks to? Because that for me is monitoring, that for me is movement. When we can say, since the implementation of this piece of legislation that addresses these issues, this is what we were able to address. Because there are still problems out there, and we know of those problems. We come from areas where those problems are. So that is what I would like to see in the report. The last one, Chairperson, on I think it's debt, municipal debt. There's major crises at the moment around debt. Money's owed to Eskom and so on within municipalities. I believe that there was a task team that was set up at some stage to look at debt that was owing to municipalities. And even though debt owed by government to municipalities is a very small percentage, we can't relax about that, even though it's a small percentage. I would like us to see, because that would show to us the department's intervention in this, in the problems that are being experienced. So come to us and say to us, this task team was established, I think it was 2009, 2010, that task team was established. When they said, we met with them, they had all kinds of plans that were being put in place. So give us a report onto that. Tell us, because that is intervention, and how far we are in terms of that. Maybe talk to us in terms of this, how long is this debt outstanding? Is this old debt, or is it newly accumulated debt, and so on. And then also, Chairperson, I'd like to see in this audit as an intervention of the department, local government CETA. What is the relationship between the department and local government CETA? What are the programs that are in place? The relationship with not only local government CETA, but higher education, FETs, and so on, in terms of addressing the shortages of skills within local government. And that will then give us where we can monitor Chairperson at the end of the day. What are the interventions that have been made and how far have we moved to date? Thanks, Chairperson.
Honourable Nelson, the last input, Honourable Mossman. Thank you, Chairperson. Without wasting any time, Chairperson, I will just raise a concern before I can go back to my question. Going back to page 21, you know, it's so amazing and frustrating if the department at this moment doesn't know the municipality. When you look at the first paragraph where it talks about the district municipalities as well, so we don't have Kalahari municipality. The correct name is John Taule Haizeu. The problem, why I'm saying it's raise a concern, how would you address the challenges when you don't understand your municipalities? It's very much amazing. Going back to my question, Chairperson, page 37, under the department perspective of monitoring and evaluation. You know, I just want to highlight that the document which has been presented by Minister, it's so good and informative. But my concern is there's no implementation. And in time frames, I'll take you to the paragraph where it says there is a need. If there is a need to strengthen monitoring and evaluation capacity, when are you going, the department is going to take corrective measures? Is it today, tomorrow, or when? That is why I'm highlighting that there's no time frame. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you to the honorable members for the presence here. Let me indicate that the when the final report will be presented, I'm convinced it will definitely respond to the expectations of all stakeholders that we have. This is a very indication right from here. We are going to engage each municipality according to the program on this very report. And when we engage each municipality, because we didn't like to be alarmist in dealing with these issues, but you have to talk to the facts as they are. So it's a very good engagement that we are having with the portfolio committee, and thanks to the questions that are raised. I would therefore consider rather as enriching the report and not turning this opportunity as a question and answer session, because most of the issues that are raised, definitely we just have to talk to those issues. The question is, when you write a report like that, you ask, how far do I go? how much details do you have I present? And answering that question at a corner, you then say, maybe if you go up to this point, you think that you will be exactly dealing with those issues, when in actual fact, we need to present as much details as possible. It does this approach sharpen the appetite to want to know more per municipality, and definitely we have to present that. A clear point is that the volume from volume 1 to volume 10, the structure will be the same, will be answering the same questions, volume 1 to volume 10. Volume 11, which is the response, will then be talking about the issues according to the plans that we put on the table. So, but on some of the questions raised, I'll try to give it specific responses, such as whether we are looking at a situation where a turnaround strategy should be permanent. Definitely not. You can't have a permanent turnaround strategy, because if you want to suggest that you have a permanent turnaround strategy, you are suggesting that, because a turnaround strategy is an intervention to correct the wrongs. If you say you want to have a permanent one, it means that the wrongs that are there to be corrected are bigger than your ability to correct them. And that's why we are saying, when we say from learning, maybe in the use of the word learning, I should have said from experience to stabilization. The questions that the turnaround strategy says we need to attend to are the very same questions that underlie our IDP development. When you deal with IDP year in, year out, you are assessing yourself as a member. And you assess yourself against the priorities that you identify and your actual performance. And you also assess yourself against the expectations that are generated by national development, either in the form of policy or in the form of other interventions like the development of the national development plan, that then guides you in terms of how then you take the process forward. So that's why we are saying the stabilization package or your volume 11 is meant to then say that we can't keep on turning around. Left will all be dizzy. And if we keep on turning around and we're all dizzy, then there will not even be somebody to provide support that would unfold. And we're therefore not intending to entrench a turnaround strategy. Hence we are saying, and we're putting this challenge to stakeholders, to all who are there, who have as much interest in local government as to confirm the slogan that local government is everybody's business. That instead of talking turnaround, we have to actually talk about stabilization. And that is what we are seeing. Volume 11 is a stabilization package. when it's fully populated, including the views that honorable members are raising here, when it's fully populated, that is going to respond directly to what these things is that we're actually doing. Now, we can't keep on putting down fires. If you identify problems and you don't actually turn the situation around. It's like when we say corruption is a three-legged animal. If you deal with one leg and you leave the two, you have not done anything. If you deal with two and you don't deal with one, you have not done anything. So in our stabilization package, including, by the way, the review of certain legislation, including, by the way, the strengthening of this portfolio. We have indicated there that we need to strengthen the arm of this portfolio to deal with the promotion of a cooperative governance, to deal with the situation of them seeing even other departments when they have to come to the party to assist municipalities, they must come to the party with the understanding that for anyone to assist the municipality is not doing a favor to the municipality. That is what actually departments are called upon to do in terms of Section 154 of the Constitution. And you need an arrangement which, by the way, even when it comes to the configuration of the department itself, we definitely are reviewing that, so that we see ourselves at a point where we can deal with those issues. We don't have a monitoring and evaluation a structure in the department. That's one of those things. But in the stabilization package, just that maybe we should have deferred presenting this report until we have the stabilization package in. It was the understanding that in a democracy where you have made a call to all stakeholders to say you are part of it, let's be part of dealing with those things. We do have answers to all those issues. There are areas where we definitely have to look at things and do things differently. You can't have a department like a DICO that in its configuration, you don't have a monitoring and evaluation establishment. In fact, it was there, but at some stage we removed that. You can't actually operate like that. And these are the things that we are saying we need to deal with. You can't have a situation where if it comes to a department, Department X having to support Municipality Y in a particular manner, you will just sometimes pick it up right from, I mean from elsewhere that some departments have an interest in a particular manner. That's why you will have structures like SALGA saying, this is an environment that is overly regulated. Anyone want to come out, raise an issue, must then come around and deal with questions like that. We have to pull our weight, and we will pull our weight. And in terms of the turnaround, when it comes to the reconfiguration, we will actually be indicating that this is the way that we're going. And this is how we're dealing with issues. Because cooperative governance, I mean, it's not an easy matter. If you leave it for anyone to do it the way he or she felt, that becomes a challenge. We need to actually look at how we deal with some of the issues. Including, by the way, that we are a policy department. When it comes to making sure that you deal with the implementation, you find power so much allocated to province. We're not going to say, don't point fingers at us. It's not our response. We're not going to say that. But we're going to turn around in terms of those instruments to then say, this is what we then say we need to actually do. There are quite a number of instances where honorable members referred to some. If we were to talk specifically, were to then say, which cases are you talking about, honorable? You put the case on the table. We'll be talking to that case a verbatim and say, this is where we are. But you just don't want to go out. You just don't want to go out and be like alarmist. You want to address these things. The stabilization package that we're talking about is definitely an intervention that would then say, we're not going to be talking about turnarounds. If there are municipalities that are not pulling their weight, you will not be having situations where some will then say, no, they're not pulling their weight because maybe they know that they've got stronger protections in terms of, maybe let's not get into that. And then we'll present the package and we'll look at this issue. It's difficult to draw a distinction if you look at the profile of municipalities in terms of performance. It's difficult to slice out and say this is because of the turnaround strategy. It is difficult to do that. But if you look at what made us to think about the turnaround strategy, and to answer your question, Honorable Members, there is a document. There is a document preceding the turnaround strategy that talks to these issues that we are raising. These issues that we're mentioning here are verbatim reproduction of what is in that document. It's a report on the state of local government. So we then say we need to look at that. So it's difficult. That's why when we set a target, this is the original document of the turnaround strategy in a pocket size. It says on page 15 that the minimum standard 2014 target on water, it says all households to have access to at least clean piped water 200 meters from houses. When you look at volume 2 to 11 on service delivery, we are reflecting on access to water and giving in percentage form. If by 2014 we are not at 100%, it means we will have missed our target. But you can't then say, single out and say, if it's 100%, 40% is because of the turnaround strategy. It's not so simple. That's why we're taking the overall target and then let it guide us. If it says 100% access by 2014, we look at where we are now and then look at the gap between where we are and where we are supposed in 2014. And we then say, what is it that we're supposed to do? In the stabilization package, we then indicate that this is what we then say we need to do so that we find ourselves at the point where we are. Sanitation, it says all households to have access to at least ventilated pit latrine on site. And these are 2014 targets. And so it goes. So when you look at the service delivery or the five priority area focus in terms of volume 2 to volume 10, you look at a particular level of the delivery of service. Let's just suppose these two. Where are we now? Where did we say we want to be? What is the gap? Therefore, what are we doing to manage this one? When would then be stabilized? Would we have to actually address? I think that we'll have experience enough in terms of what causes whatever can be considered as a low light in performance. Therefore, to think about continuing to turn around, I think it's rather we think about stabilizing. And we then say, that's how then this is a stabilization package. But of course, like I'm saying, that without it in here, we may sound like we are just raising rhetorical issues. I think here what would be necessary is that before June, we might want to have an engagement again with the portfolio committee, when we will have been to municipalities, and of course we will also, having put the date there, we'll also invite the honorable members. You may not be all over, but in your area where is your constituent, where your constituency is, you might develop interest that when we engage with municipalities, we'll be there. We want to get as much facts as possible so that you don't do a wrong diagnosis. And at the end of the day, you want to apply an intervention. You will end up applying a wrong intervention because your diagnosis was not correct. So this is the situation that would then say we would be dealing with that. The issue of the green paper. What you see in that report is that, and also when you look in terms of the legislative program of this particular department for this year, you will see that it is there. But there are two of the pieces of legislation that you may achieve what you want to achieve through attending to one of them. That is the intergovernmental relations framework legislation. So that's why you find the issues raised there. Of course, the political questions. When it comes to political questions, the intention is not only to end with the synchronization, but other political questions, you can best deal with them in a dedicated report. That's why you can bet when it comes to synchronization, it's a national, all inclusive picture. You can't have a synchronization for a particular province. Once you have it, but when it comes to questions like political interference, that is what we want to measure on volume 2 to 10. If it's not there yet, it's what we are actually doing. As we are dealing with it, is what remains to be done. We want to see as to which are those municipalities that are like changing councillors every time there is lightning. And then you look at what the impact of that is to stability in dealing with not only councillors, but also your managers. When it comes to areas around the interference, what form does interference take in a local government? It takes place in different forms. Now, when you appoint, the act will say when you appoint a municipal manager, after the fact a municipality informs the MEC, after the fact the MEC informs the minister. That is where you have gaps that you actually have to manage. Now you will deal with these things. And clearly put, what we seek to achieve in terms of review of certain legislation is that it should not be after the fact. So that where you have to reverse the appointment, you definitely have to do that. Even when it comes to the question of deployment, you have to then say, but look, can't we put an instrument there where you will deploy and say, these three people are appointable, but leave it to the professional assessment to pick up and then say, yes, indeed, these three people are fit for what you want to address. I mean, there are two expressions that it depends on which side you are standing in, fit for purpose or equal to the task. You know that if you talk about one of these two, your surname can easily be located, your political surname. I'm not talking about it. So these are the things that we then say, how do we then deal with this issue? So these are some of the things that we're going to address. Political questions will deal with quite a number of issues. Interference is one of them. At national level, the issue of synchronization. That's why because volume one is focusing on that. That is what we're looking at. That. Inside looking at folks, I've already referred to that. Configuration is a factor of mandate. You can't have yourself configured differently to what is expected of you. Otherwise, you won't achieve that. And these are the things that we are attending to. So yes, we also look at ourselves and then say, but also look at the limitations that are there. And if the limitations are due to things that we have the authority to reverse, then we must do that. And that's exactly what we're committing to do. Like I'm saying, even before adopting final jointly adopting, it will be necessary that we engage the portfolio committee. You will realize how important this engagement will be, so that we'll make it a point that we deal with it. By the way, is that we did not send that in the package. We put questions under each priority area to say when we will have exhausted dealing with this matter, we must answer the following questions. And that includes all the things that we raise. On national government having to organize themselves better, that is what was identified as things that must be done. How far are we? It's work in progress. We have to a role to play. We have a role to play as DCOC in particular. We have a role to play is all departments that have a role to play. I would like one day when, before a situation where you will hear Treasury invoking Section 216 of the PFMA to throw back money, demonstrating that they have actually done something to address this issue. Because otherwise, you have municipalities committing in terms of IDPs that they're going to do 1, 2, 3. Now, and then they fail on reasons that are beyond their control. And instead of national departments coming in to assist, we actually come in to worsen the situation. These are the things that would then say there will be no holocaust here in terms of when we look at doing things and doing things differently. A legislative program. What happened in the past years? It's work in progress. And you know, when you want to check what happened, you may have to sometimes be called upon to put one piece of legislation after the other. We will find ourselves even like, you know, with this the Municipal Systems Amendment Act on the regulations. Quite often I had a lot of issues raised to say, hey, you guys delayed and stuff like that. It's a complex matter. Even as we speak now, we are being challenged. We are being challenged with one union saying that the Parliament Act in its tagging of the Municipal Systems Amendment Act as a Section 75 bill at that stage. It should have been tagged as a Section 76. We are still dealing with that. We are dealing with, we have secured a legal opinion that says no, it's defendable. You see, once you have a legal advice saying, no, this matter is defendable, then you can see that it's not a straightforward matter. What is defendable may be lost. Now, if we lose, then the issue is what then happens with the Systems Act as amended. Because it's not a question of numbers, that this one is 75, the other one is 76. It's a question of a process. If the taking mechanism will be established, if it will be established that we add in taking, it means that when we pass that bill into an act, the process we should have gone to provinces and we have not. So that's what I'm saying. If you raise the question and then say what was happening in as far as legislation is concerned, let's put in which one specifically, because we are dealing with a complex environment. So that's why, I mean, the bill to come with an act, a sector act that will give the effect of implementing Section 100 and Section 139, managing intervention, was actually drafted around 2010, and we're still working on those ones. It's because of the things that we deal with. On clean audit, there is no intention that we are registering here today for us to review the target. We are not. We are not registering an intention to review the target. We are saying in our stabilization package, We are taking municipalities that over a period of 4 years have performed below a qualified rating, and we're putting them, we're entering into partnerships, we're putting them into an accelerated program to turn the situation around. We have only 1 year, which is the last year of the financial of the financial year 2013-2014, which takes us to the year of our target to achieve it. And we're seeing local government being everybody's business through oversight. Once we communicate and then say this is the package that we then we are responding to this question, hold us accountable in terms of that. We are not registering a review of that target, not at this stage. If there will come a point where we register an appeal for the review of the target, we'll talk accordingly. We must make local government, Mr. Skinhaven, the pride of the people. That is what we're looking at. And what then do we do? We are saying projectize, institutionalize, talk about five areas. If local government is to be with the pride of the people, let's do this first thing, these five things. And get these five things done, local government will be the pride of the people. I'm convinced that working together as local government is everybody's business who can achieve that. Municipalities developed their, for the period since then, municipalities developed their localized turnaround strategies. But you know, a reality is that we had elections in Pity. And you know, the reality is that changes in leadership sometimes translate into changes in priorities. So that is the situation. But we are not left on our own. I mean, we are not found wanting, because the IGP is meant to deal with questions related to those matters. The anti-corruption inspectorate has not been disbanded, so there has been no need for handing over of the staff to any other person. What we did is to address what was a limitation. You remember when I addressed the portfolio committee at some stage and I raised this issue of the limitations, I even had to borrow a leaf from what is provided in the Bible, talking about a person called Balaam. And I then said, if we don't remove some of the issues there, we'll keep on flogging this inspectorate. And what we did, as we speak now, is having partnership with institutions that have even forensic capabilities, because forensic audit capabilities, because on its own, the inspectorate, honestly speaking, wouldn't be going far. And we're saying we're fighting corruption the cooperative governance way to make sure that the instrument, because local government is at the core phase of service delivery. Now, even in areas where other institutions have to perform to fight corruption, if they don't perform, the impact is heavy on municipalities. So we have to make it a point that we deal with those issues exactly the way we say we need to. Like I'm saying, let me not just be responding to all. We have spoken, Mamadi Chetelo, on getting dizzy. We shouldn't be turning around until we're dizzy. We should stabilize. It's true that those who know what it takes to be examples of good governance, those officials in that you raised, they know the right to be done, but they do the wrong. They will continue to do that for as long as we don't set an example. We need to set an example, and we have actually set an example. The case of a councillor, former mayor, former speaker, who was quoted from Rustenburg, is behind bars with a protector. it's a clear indication that a wrongdoing doesn't actually pay. So we actually continue to deal with those things. I think with this, we might then have to then say when we finalize the report, under the fight against corruption, we need to talk about in specific, even if it means in numbers, to then say for this year under review, so many people in this municipality were actually attended to. Because if you don't do that, it appears like we are colluding, we're not doing anything about this thing. We need to deal with the issue of the informal settlement. The government is doing its best. You know of areas where, take the Alexander Urban Renewal Program. You get the area, you even create a transit village where you're keeping people as you are dealing with the issues. But you find a situation that the transit village itself, a transit village is meant to be, it's like a facility in between before you get to other challenges that are associated with that, and then we need to look at that. A census report has indicated you see a lot of people migrating from rural areas into our urban areas. Of course, the issue is that as they do that, we have to develop those areas, because by doing that, it presents a burden in terms of infrastructure in the area. But you have to develop that those areas, and you develop the rural areas where the people come from, because there's nothing in the majority of cases that people will be leaving their areas completely. And if you want to test that, just check how empty Gauteng will be around the 22nd of December up to the 26th of December. People who have gone to their real homes, but after that, they will reconverge. So that's a situation that we look at. These municipal managers, 70% of the post filled, will also have to deal with it. I think we need to put in that portion of the report the age analysis of vacancies. In one municipality, we had to prevail and then say, if you don't within a given period of time, we place you under Section 139. Otherwise, that municipality has been with an acting municipal manager for over a period of 3 years. You know Nelson Mandela Metro. So these are the things that, one of the things that we have to note is this thing of immediate authority or a secondary authority in dealing with some of these issues, where you have to first give the other sphere, so that you are not seen to be like interfering. But we need to actually deal with that, so that when we're there, if it is three years, I'm in a vacant, or somebody's acting for a period of 3 years, really. But it's a reality we have done that. That is why we have to sometimes apply harsh measures, like we did in some of those areas. Okay. Let me round up. Just deal with one question, because it's a chess question. If you don't respond to the chess question, you might be in trouble. Technical support units. The technical support units have not been demobilized. What we did is just the change of the title. They are called service delivery facilitators now. And the reason that we're calling them that is that the advent of MISA created a reality where we are deploying technical experts to municipalities. So you will have technical experts and technical support units. You know, that is too close to each other, it may equal possible. That's why we then say the others, let's call them civil delivery facilitators, but they are still there. Actually, even the number increased because we're linking them with the CDW, because that is what CDWs were meant to. So we're actually linking them to deal with those issues. So I think I've spoken about monitoring. The management team still exists. Maybe when I say still exists, it may sound like it's in the process of being disbanded. For as long as there will be death, they are dealing with that. What they do, they make it a point that the parties in dispute are brought together, because more often you find that a municipality says you are owing us, and the party that is said to be owing challenging that. They are doing that, and we have taken a decision to strengthen that. We have written letters at ministerial level, dear colleague, to the political heads of departments that are in situations like that. And to them say, it comes out to our attention that you are owing this municipality, pay or commit to pay within a given period of time. If you contest that, then raise the issue for you contesting that with you. So it is still there. We are working very closely with higher education in as far as dealing with issues of LGCTA. You will know that with the creation of the Department of Higher Education and Training, in as far as the responsibility over the National Skills Act, the responsibility migrated from the Minister of Labour to the Minister of Higher Education and Training. So in as far as being responsible for the skills, for the National Skills Act and also the Levies Act, that function has migrated to the Minister of Higher Education and Training. So all the 23 sitters, they operate in an arrangement where we work very closely with the Minister of Higher Education and Training. That's why we had to agree to take it as a joint decision to put the LGCTA under administration as it is now, and we are working together to expand in terms of the areas that we are dealing with. We're not only looking at LGCTA, but a public service sector and the engineering sector and other sectors that have work to do, that talk to our competency. We actually work on that very closely. So we are dealing with those issues. Where we say, madam, there is a need. I think we will unpack on that. Because in all areas where we have such statements, it talks to particular situations that can. I think unpicking that is something that we need to do. And of course, we want to acknowledge and apologize for the grammatical areas and also the areas where it will suggest that we are not in keeping with the development in our country in terms of some of the statements like on page 21. So, Chairperson, thank you very much.
Thanks, Minister. That brings us to the end of the first presentation. Let's get another presentation, which is the department's budget, both three, and annual performance plan.
But I'm sure Kinabia will be careful. Okay, where is it? Oh, wow, I'm sure. Over to you. Oh, taking that.
anything that I'm using within the budget of cooperative governance, I'll be presenting a progress report on the annual performance plan 2012-13, as well as priorities identified for 2013-14. That's the request from the honorable members of the portfolio committee on cooperative governance and traditional. The outline of the presentation will be using the proposed background and presenting the strategic plan in terms of the mandate, vision, mission, strategic position, and strategic objectives, and as well as giving progress with regard to the 2013 annual performance plan. We'll then also give a bit of update with regards to the priorities for the 2013-14 financial year, as well as the budget overview for the 2013-14 medium-term expenditure framework allocation. As I alluded to, the purpose for us to present the progress made with regards to 2012-13 annual performance plan, as well as to present priorities for the upcoming financial year, as well as the budget related to that. In terms of the mandate which you are afforded by the Constitution, we are responsible for developing and monitoring the implementation of national policy and legislation that is seeking to transform and strengthen the key institutions and mechanisms of government in order to fulfill their developmental state and developmental role. We have looked at the National Development Plan and tried to foster linkages in terms of how we're going to ensure that we incorporate the National Development Plan priorities into our work going forward. So we're saying, with regards to this primary mandate, it is related to the building of a capable and developmental state as outlined in the National Development Plan. We're also responsible to develop, promote, and monitor mechanisms, systems, and structures to enable an integrated service delivery and implementation within government, and also to promote sustainable development by providing support to and exercising oversight over provincial and local government. Our vision, again, we looked at the National Development Plan, and as well, it's talking with regards to the cycle of development, it's talking about the social cohesion, issues of employment, issues of capable state, as well as also issues of strong leadership, effective government, and active citizenry. We're saying these kind of priorities are in some way linked to our vision, and our vision is also linked to the outcome 9 aim that of ensuring that we have a responsive, accountable, effective, and efficient system of cooperative governance. We also looked at our mission statement, and we have ensured that our mission statement is also talking about that the building of a capable state that will fulfill its developmental role through the development of appropriate policies, through the promotion of service delivery, and through the achievement of social cohesion. So that blue area is also showing how we fostering linkages with the National Development Plan, and also to ensure that we monitor, evaluate the implementation of policies that we have developed that relate to cooperative governance.
It's getting bigger. I was asking for the screen to be zoomed in a little bit. To cater some of our disabilities.
We are guided by the Batupele principles, and these are the values that we adhere to: professionalism and integrity when doing our work. We are goal-orientated, participation and collectivism, as well as innovation and service excellence. Actually, when we conducted our strategic planning session, we identified 8 strategic goals. This slide is showing the linkages in terms of how it is linking to the LG task, how it is also linking to outcome 9, output within outcome 9. Our strategic goals are, for the first one is that talks about policy framework on differentiation. The second one, the issues of facilitating improved access to basic services and sustainable infrastructure development, facilitate the implementation of community work programs and sustainable economic development at a local level, strengthen the effectiveness of cooperative governance through the development and rollout of policies and legislation. We're also responsible to ensure that we strengthen measures to fight corruption and unethical conduct, strengthen coordination and support effective integrated disaster management and fire services, deepen participatory democracy through a refined ward committee model, and we ensure that there's improved administrative and financial capabilities for within municipalities. The column on the right shows the linkages, as I said, to the LG task and as well as to APCAN. Now, just as an example, the second goal is linked to LG task priority number 4 and 5, that of saying we are accelerating service delivery as well as facilitating sustainable infrastructure development. The slide that follows are just to give a bit of a summary in terms of the performance of the department for the period 2012-2013. I must just say, Chair, that progress report has been developed taking into consideration that we have not yet produced our annual report, so maybe the picture can change after the Auditor General has conducted their audit on our performance for the financial year. But at a glance, we're saying we have achieved 75% of our planned target, which is 53 of the 71 targets that we set ourselves for the 2012-13 financial year. It shows that on 14 of these projects were partially achieved and 4 were not achieved. When looking at specific branches, in terms of the breakdown of the 75% of the achievement, we see that as an example, the National Disaster Management Center managed to achieve all the 5 of their planned targets. The Provincial Municipal Government Support achieved 12 of their planned targets and partially achieved 2 of them. So this is just a picture of showing progress in terms of breaking down the 75% and also the partially achieved and not achieved. Now, with regard to progress per program, the first program, we have summarized progress in terms of what we expected to. We are expected to ensure that all governance structures within the department are established and functional. And we can report that we have the budget committee, the internal audit steering committee, the external audit committee, as well as the supply chain management committee, which will ensure that we improve our governance within the department. We have also managed to develop the annual report 2011-12 and the 8th annual performance plan 2012-13 and submitted them on time in Parliament. The human resource plan was also submitted to the Department of Public Service and Administration as required. We then say it is likely that the target for the administrative component will be achieved by the end of the financial year. Our main conclusion that we can draw is that efforts of improving our internal governance processes and systems will improve vastly towards the achievement of unqualified audits, mainly because of our commitment to implement and follow through and report on progress against the post-audit action plan. The chairperson might remember that as per recommendation from the Auditor General, we did develop a post-audit action plan that is responding to issues raised by the Auditor General. So this, we're saying we're implementing it, we're also following through and reporting on progress against that. So then all these are some progress with regard to the finalization of organizational structure. We still have challenges there, but we were not able to meet our target as we planned. there are ongoing processes of ensuring the placement of all senior managers, senior managers in the approved organizational structure. The strategic goals of the administration are mainly with regards to the improvement of our internal capacity and capabilities. We ensure that we implement the post-audit action plan. We also ensure that we provide appropriate human resource services that would respond to the needs of the department. We improve our ICT infrastructure as well as our knowledge management capabilities. We'll continue to conduct research to inform policies that are aimed to strengthen the system of provincial and local government. And we'll also, as the Minister alluded to, strengthen the monitoring and evaluation across the 3 years. And I must add that the monitoring evaluation unit is being considered as high priority, and there are processes of ensuring that it is being built up to a chief directorate level at the present moment. We're also looking at issues of improving the strategic management and governance process through the implementation of the annual audit plan as well as the annual risk management plan. Now, for us to achieve the above objectives, we have identified a number of projects that at a glance. We will continue with our post-audit action plan. We'll also do our normal transfer payments and as well as conduct develop a Section 48 report on the performance of local government. We'll also have a project to ensure that we support identified provinces to develop and implement performance management system and ensure that the core set of local government indicators are revised for approval. We're also looking at issues of improving regional and international relations. I must say that the DG has ensured that we must beef up this unit to ensure that we live up to our, what we planned to do in terms of our relations regionally and internationally. Also, the annual fraud prevention plan and risk management plan will also be implemented. In terms of program two, policy research and knowledge management, we think that the program is likely to achieve all the four planned targets within the current implementation period. Among these are the issues of them, the unit conducting, producing research reports on service delivery process, conducting research on behalf of other programs in terms of, for instance, municipal financing or the outcomes of municipalities. And also, we'll continue to ensure that a project on ICT infrastructure at local government level is being implemented. Now, the strategic objectives moving forward will be conducting research to inform policies strengthening the system of provincial and local government. Will also facilitate the implementation of policy and legislation that will strengthen cooperative governance across the 3 years. The key projects in this regard will again be issues of us conducting research that is being commissioned by other programs, mainly covering areas of governance, service delivery, and financial management. There was a need for us to establish it, but our policy forum has been established, and two meetings have already been taking place within the period from January up until now. When it comes to the program governance and intergovernmental relations, we can report progress in terms of the draft framework for assignment of powers and function across government have been revised, and we say this project will continue in our in this current financial year. Through initiatives aimed at improving the functionality of district IGR structures, UCOP managed to revise the assessment report on the functionality of district district IGR structure. Implementation will commence in the 2013-14 financial year. The monitoring support intervention skills was also revised with the aim of contributing to a strengthening oversight role and management of intervention between the 3 years. We also have a project on ensuring that the provincial framework on out-of-pocket expenditure for what committees is being implemented. We'll continue with regards to progress made. the priority project on facilitated development of what level operational plan will be finalized by the end of the financial year. Currently, 460 out of 500 what operational plans have been established. You might remember, Chairperson, that this was a priority project that was recommended by committee, that there should be what level operational plans that would respond to issues at the what level. We managed to 118 municipalities in 7 provinces were supported to implement credit control and debt collection policy guidelines. Also, the draft Municipal Property Rate Amendment Bill was finalized and submitted to the Chief State Law Advisor. 92 municipalities across all provinces were supported to better manage the spending on the municipal infrastructure funds. And there was also the issue of establishment of municipal public accounts committees. We have managed to establish 250 out of the 278 municipal public accounts committees. And as the committee has raised the issues of fighting corruption, we have established partnerships with the Free State Provincial Department, the Hawks and Special Investigation Investigating Unit for the purposes of accelerating the fight against corruption. Still, with regards to that, we only managed to conduct an evaluation in 2 of the 3 targeted provinces, which are Eastern Cape and Western Cape, of ensuring that there are functional ethics committees. The objective there would be to support the reduction of the incidences of corruption in municipalities, and we still continue with this project in the next financial year. We'll continue again to assess, to conduct an assessment report on corruption trends in municipalities and the impact of interventions by our department in the next financial year. With regards to the strategic objectives moving forward, there are 5 strategic objectives within the governance and intergovernmental relations, mainly issues of the functionality of ward committees, the improvement of audit outcomes, the improvement of financial expenditure and revenue enhancement, the facilitation of the implementation of policy and legislation to strengthen cooperative governance, and also again the strengthening of anti-corruption mechanisms. The priority project in this regard will also continue with the MISI bill in terms of us submitting it to Parliament by end of March 2014. We also want to increase the development and implementation of what level operational plans from 500 to 2,000 by the end of the financial year. We envisage to also provide advice and support to 120 identified municipalities by way of workshop training and project appraisals to improve on the expenditure. The other project we'll continue with is related to the credit control and debt collection policies. We'll also continue to ensure that we have ethics committees that would support the fight against corruption. When we come to the program, the National Disaster Management Center, progress for 2012-13 in terms of strengthening the accountability and reporting on disaster management across the 3 spheres and sectors of government, we managed to develop the draft Disaster Management Amendment Bill. And we also ensured that the National Disaster Management Education and Training Framework, which is aimed at improving the system of disaster management through education and training, is developed. We also finalized the discussion paper on fire services, and we also ensured that the flood risk and vulnerability profile is finalized by the end of this financial year. In terms of priority, having finalized the flood in indicative risk and vulnerability profile, we also now in this financial year focus on indicative risk and vulnerability profile for drought. We also have a project on disaster management monitoring evaluation framework. When it comes to program 5, provincial and municipal government support. Progress in this regard is that within the unit, there is a directorate that has been established that is responsible for public entities. And what we have achieved this financial year is that we have developed a quarterly report. Quarterly reports were produced with regard to these entities, and we also have a draft annual performance report on SALGA and Municipal Demarcation Board. The department also finalized an assessment report on the impact of six-term contracts for municipal managers on municipal councils aimed at determining the impact of the five-year six-term contract of municipal managers. The recruitment and retention strategy tool was also developed, and the targeted 70 municipalities to develop technical skills was also achieved. MISA is focusing on technical skills while the department is focusing on skills and critical skills. The national professionalization framework that is aimed at professionalizing local government sector has been developed, and consultation is ongoing with relevant stakeholders. In our endeavor to improve development planning capacity at municipalities, we were able to facilitate provincial workshops in Western Cape, Northern Cape, Northwest, and the Free State. And also, 9 provincial IDP assessments were conducted, and a draft national IDP assessment report was developed. We also had managed to ensure that intergovernmental planning frameworks and provincial planning guidelines are developed. We also continued with the regulation of setting uniform norms and standards for senior managers, and we have to ensure that these are developed and are out for public comment. The branch was unable to roll out the 27 training programs for counselor development as planned because of the withdrawal by the service provider. We also ensure that the rollout of Section 105 and 106 of the MSA is 80% complete. Due to the delay in the appointment of a service, the draft report will be signed off by senior management in April, and the final report will be presented to MINMEC around May 2030. Moving forward, these are the strategic objectives that will be drive our work moving forward. We will ensure that we implement a differentiated approach to municipal planning, that legislation on governance of VCOG entities is reviewed. We also strengthen legislative framework to improve institutional and administrative capacity of municipalities and promote corporate governance for associate institutions. The objective is to improve performance and professionalism of municipalities and enhance national and provincial oversight on the implementation of local government legislation. The last one is to build effective, responsive, and accountable local government. Priorities for the 2013-14 are mainly with regard to the support that will be providing municipalities with regard to the filling of vacancies, and also the identified municipalities will be supported to implement remedial actions that are emanating from the monitoring of the MSA and the rolling out of these guidelines. Again, another project will be to the municipal demarcation amendment draft bill will be developed. There will also be a discussion document on organized local government. And again, a new project will be coming up with a draft integrated urban development framework in this current financial year. Continuing with the priorities, we have identified that 70 municipalities will be identified with tools to develop and implement a recruitment and retention strategies. Also develop and implement a strategy to promote local government as a career of choice, and as well as competency assessment model for senior managers will be developed together with a database of staff members who are dismissed for misconduct. Coming to the program infrastructure and economic development. The community work program, we say, is well on track. The department has managed to support 140 identified municipalities to implement the community work program in at least two wards. We can report that to date, 136,778 of the planned 171,500 work opportunities have been created through this program. We will provide the necessary support to ensure that the remaining 31,722 work opportunities are created by the end of 2012-13. Through initiatives to promote economic development, we were able to support the development of the Intanda Business Development Forum, the West Coast District Development Forum, and the Sudan United Business Development Forum. We were able to facilitate the signing of MOUs on our program called the Business Adopter Municipality. To date, four MOUs have been signed between identified municipalities and Santam, Eskom, Rainwater Foundation, as well as Mercedes-Benz. We also signed MOUs with the Department of Trade and Industry, an MOU with the Department of Trade and Industry with regards to the support on the development of cooperatives. The number of district and rural municipalities supported to improve on non-financial performance is still a project that will continue. The clean community program is well on track. The cleanup campaign and job creation was done in sites located in Mafikeng local municipality, Ahanang local municipality, Mbashe local municipality, which is in Elliotdale and Willow Vale, Nelson Mandela Metro, Greater Kiani, and the creation of park in Tukuloho local municipality, Soto local municipality, Konkobe local municipality, and a green project in Alice in the Eastern Cape. Out of a target of 10, we managed to support 14 districts in those identified district municipalities with regards to improve on league non-financial performance monitoring and reporting. This project has therefore already been achieved by quarter 3. Out of the 10 districts that we supported for free basic service policy updating, 6 were already supported by quarter 3, and the target of 10 we think will be reached by, I'm sure it has already been reached. The department was also able to support 10 identified districts and local municipalities to implement the comprehensive infrastructure plan. And this project is being coordinated through the Municipal Infrastructure Support Agency. The initiative to improve reporting on basic services through the coordination of sector and stakeholders is likely not to be achieved because of challenges with regards to sector accuracy and integrity. But we say we continue to have engagement with the SSA Department of Water Affairs, Energy Department of Human Settlement, as well as Environmental Affairs through stakeholder workshops or working groups and forums for purposes of us sorting out the data challenges that we have having. Only 86 of the 108 prioritized municipalities were supported to develop integrated support plans in delivery and management of basic infrastructure. Because we assessed the remaining 22 municipalities later than we have planned, the project will continue in the new annual performance plan. With regard to strategic objectives moving forward, we will continue to ensure that there are 332,000 work opportunities are created by the end of 2015-16. We will also ensure that our project to increase access to basic services is also continuing. And we also want to roll out the national indigent policy for free basic services by the end of the financial year. Another strategic objective is to promote greater ownership of environmental health outcomes within municipalities by coordinating the rollout of the Clean Communities Program in 8 sites annually so that by the end of 2015 we achieve our objective. We also envisage to promote economic development within local government by supporting 25 municipalities to implement development programs over the MTF period. The priorities that relate to those strategic objectives are for the 2013-14 171,500 work opportunities will be provided. 48 municipalities will be supported to implement the program, and 18 municipalities working community program is coordinated and supported. They will be supported there. There will be 4 private sector collaborative partnerships established and support plans developed and implemented to promote economic development. The national framework for LED will be reviewed by the end of 2014. We also support 50 municipalities to improve on access to free basic services through the rollout of indigent policies and credible indigent registers. Again, we continue with the new MIG policy development to facilitate the improvement of delivery of basic services. These slides are just to show a project that we are carrying through to the next financial year that were either not achieved in the previous financial year or those that we think maybe are too operational. On the left column, we give reasons why we have moved it across, and on the right, these are the projects. For instance, as I'm going to make an example, with regards to the percentage of municipalities with established and functional MPECs. We say MPECs, as I reported earlier on, MPECs are established and functionality thereof will be in the branch operational plan. So we think the MPECs are established, but will continue with the process of ensuring that they are functional in terms of them speaking and providing that oversight. I'll hand over to the CFO who will take us through the budget. I'm a bit challenged with figures.
I mean, maybe before I hand over to the CFO, I've been advised that at 1 o'clock the minister will ask to leave us. There are some other meetings that have been scheduled for him. But he will leave us in the leadership of DG, Traditional Affairs, CFO, and the Comrade Minister. I'm sorry. Agreed. Peter, why are you nodding so slowly? That I just
think. No, not quickly then.
No, I'm just. Okay, we let the whole presentation is done or we come to what not to do. It's fine that we give the opportunity to save all to prevent financial issues of the department, then we entertain questions, comments.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thanks, Chairperson, and good afternoon, honourable members and the minister. I'm not sure, Chairperson, this presentation that I'm about to make, the structure of it is made up of the 2 departments and including MISA. I don't want to fix this one. Yeah. Okay. Chairperson, these are the final figures. I don't know if Chairman will assist me with the system. The first slide, as I said, the Department of Traditional Affairs and MISA are included as part of this presentation. The commitment that we made earlier to the committee that at first by this financial year will be operating on its vote. We have not been successful, but we're still trying. Treasurer has promised that they'll try and finalize the matter during this financial year. And if it is done, then we'll make those adjustments during the adjustment budget process. As earlier indicated, MISA is a fully-fledged government component. And as of this financial year, we'll be treating it as an entity within the budget. In other words, we'll be transferring funds to it on a quarterly basis based on the agreed transfer payment schedules. Coming to the budget process itself, it was an involved process. We participated in all processes within Treasury that we expected to do. The net effect of the whole exercise is that during the next MTF cycle, this department will be getting more than the baseline, an amount of more of 2.1 billion, which is largely due to additional allocations that were made for the equitable share. In terms of the letter that we received for the allocation, the final letter we received in Treasury, there are certain conditions that we are expected to meet as two departments. The first one being the expenditure of report and quarter report on the performance of CWP. We were expected to submit a strategy. This one is a difficult one, demonstrating a reduction of 1% on personnel per year on a quarterly basis. There is issues that they are raising in terms of the performance. I think the minister has alluded to this, of Operation Clean Audit, consolidation of provincial support function across the department, there are issues, and performance information and management of CWP. Those are the conditions that were attached to these allocations. And the two following paragraphs are just to do with the stages and submission that were expected to do, which were complied. The final ENE document was signed on the 11th of February. The next slide, Chairperson, is just indicating what we received and what we had to surrender in terms of the decision taken by Minicom BAT earlier last year during the budget process, where departments and entities were expected to reduce their budget. They call it mandatory reduction of 1% this financial year, up to 3% in the outer year. And as I said, these were mandatory reductions because the country, through Treasury, they want us to move from what they call consumption expenditure to investment. So they took money from, more especially from goods and services, personnel, and some from conditional grants, and take it to assist the strategic projects that the president is managing. For this department, the two departments, including MISA, for the next MTF cycle, we have been provided, we all received 4.8 in terms of improvement of conditions of service. You can see, Chairperson, that the next MTF, in terms of goods and services, we didn't receive anything. We did make a very strong presentation to Treasury in terms of assisting us, in terms of giving us additional funding to fill the very critical post that we need as two departments. Treasury, as Chairperson will recall, is a new department that still needs a lot of capacity. In terms of the COG, as you will see later, the allocations that we are receiving for our operational budget is amounting to 0.8% of the total allocation. The expectation that we need to follow the REM and make sure that what is allocated to municipality gets spent and spent appropriately and for what it was allocated for, becoming very difficult with this kind of allocation. But due to the reasons that I have given above, Treasury couldn't assist us. So we did not, and we are not getting throughout the MTF cycle, any additional funding to appoint additional people. All that you are seeing there is the improvement in condition of employment. In terms of additional allocation, the only beneficiary is MISA. They got about 60 million, which we appreciate. I hope as a new wife, they'll be able to use this money appropriately as a fully fledged government entity. The trust has received some money to assist them to appoint few, but not enough people to in their corporate and financial services. And as you can see, as I said earlier, that the bulk of additional allocation during the MTF goes to equitable share, the outer year being 4.5 billion. And that's where the 2.8 comes about after we have taken the reduction. The second part of the presentation talks about adjustments to the baseline, figures. And the first one, of course, was the process that we followed vigorously, which Treasury wanted us to reprioritize our needs, which we did. The net effect was that we have moved 5 million back to Treasury. And after reprioritization process, and following that, is those are the mandatory, they call it savings, but we call them reductions, which we had to implement in all the goods and services and also to the conditional grants that were applicable. The major loss in terms of the first part is the money that we lost on CWP, which in terms of the the MTF cycle is amounting to 1 billion. And this was a decision taken by Minicom budget that because of pressing needs in other developments within the country, they had to take this money and use it for those purposes. We are hoping, and we have made a submission to Treasury to relook at this. It was taken late during the budget process, and we're not even provided with the opportunity to put our case, but we take it that time will come when this money will be reallocated to us. But for the next MTF cycle, that's what we have lost. In terms of adjustments to conditional grants, the major loser here is the MIG. We have lost a lot of money, and some of it has been diverted to Department of Water Affairs to attend to water needs of the communities. So it's not actually lost from the sector, but it's lost from the department and reallocated to that department. And as I said, the others are the effects of the mandatory, the reductions which we were expected to implement. The second slide, 47, is a reflection of the budget allocations per program. As you can see, there were no major improvements except where the grants and the equitable share is affected in those programs that are dealing like the IGR, the disaster. There have been some increase in terms of the disaster relief fund and infrastructure. Traditional affairs, there are no major. It's all to do with inflation. The net effect I spoke about is if you look at the next 2 years of the MTF, the net effect is that our budget will be reduced, and these are the the mandatory reduction I spoke about. The 3.1 at the last financial year has got to do with the allocation for the equitable share. The net effect is 3.1 billion. The next slide, slide 48, is also now by compensation of, what is economic classification, allocation by economic classification. As I said, you look at our compensation of employees, it's just a movement that is just taking account the fact that the improvement on conditions of service. There are no major allocations that have happened. And look at goods and services. The two billion has got nothing to do with the COC. It's more to do with CWP. It's the monies that we are using to effect those employment creation projects in the whole country. And that 2 billion is actually what goes to me, so I think it's 1.6 billion that is for CWP. MISA has got their own transfers and subsidies. That's why the major increases have happened even after the reductions, because in the previous MTF allocations, we're still at they gave us a lot of money. So the Treasury has not forgotten us in terms of transfer payments to municipalities. They are still very kind to that, but I think from the department side is to have the capacity to make sure that we do follow the rent and make sure that these monies transferred to municipalities are spent for what they were meant for originally. The last slide, chairperson, is now transfers and subsidies in the new baseline. This is what it looks like. MIG, we're transferring about 14 billion. We've been sitting last year about 13. MSIG 240 disaster has gone up from 510 to 534. Quitable share from 37 to 40 billion. So even after reductions, we're still doing very well. As I said, Treasury is looking after these entities, the municipalities, and it's up to us and them to make sure, as I said, that this money translates to the improvement of the lives of the people on the ground. SALGA, MDB, CRI, South African Cities, NESR, UCLGA, and all. But the critical to this, the last figure that you see there, that is called operational budget, that refers to DECOC, is the 452 after 58 billion that we are managing as a department, and this translates to this 0.77% that I spoke about that we are allocated to manage this budget. And increasingly it's becoming difficult because we as a department, we want to make sure that we visit the municipalities, we assist them. There is an increasing trend. If you look at our expenditure report and the municipal expenditure report which are attached here, that the municipalities are battling to spend the MIG allocation. And it's our responsibility to assist them to make sure that they spend this allocation. But with this kind of allocation of OPEX at that percentage, it's making it very difficult. And as I said, we tried our best to speak to Treasury. Chairperson, this presentation may look short, but we did provide the Secretariat of the Portfolio Committee with a detailed report per program, which gives you the analysis of the expenditure previously and the projections and what is in the budget E&E document. And the research unit of the Portfolio Committee used it to do their own analysis. And we have taken note of the comments that are made. And if there are further clarifications, we'll make with them directly. And we hope, and in terms of expenditure reports, I know they are not on the agenda, but we would like the committee to note that we have submitted both the departmental expenditure report, the general figures that we have up to now, and also the expenditure by municipalities for the period commencing July 2012 up to February. The updated figures, of course, will be provided when we come to present our annual report and audited financial statements. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thanks, Chairperson. I'm so amazed that the our machinery and our measures are also disclosed to you. How are we going to do our monitoring, knowing that what are we monitoring before coming in here? I mean the research paper. So I think it mustn't be given to you. It's for us. So you know exactly, and you will adjust your presentation according to what they have said.
Not the presentation was here first. We didn't adjust it, Mr. Chairperson. This presentation.
It's wrong. We can be easily defeated. If all our needs are disclosed, you know which machines are we having. So I think Andy, you must not forward any research paper to Labour.
there was a very good research comment on the editor's report. And it helped me to adjust my presentation.
That's what I'm saying.
You think so well.
That's what I'm saying, that it disarms us in one way or another. Because you come here straightforward and we clean and adjust some of the things.
So we are unable to do our monitoring exactly. And when asking, you will know, he's been tipped from the research paper. That's why there is this kind of question. No, it's our own confidential issues as a portfolio committee. Thanks, honorable members. Lebo, I think we'll chase you away even in our management meeting. You disclose our things. Honorable members, here is the presentation. I think you're not discouraged. Questions, comments? Wendy? Honorable Nelson, I'm sorry to say. No questions? Hebu. Honorable Bonhomme? let's hear Wendy first.
Okay. Thanks, Jim. When I look at the annual report and I look at the priorities that have been set for the next year, 13-14, and the assessment of 12-13, something sticks out for me, and that is that our targets are not clearly defined. And if targets are not clearly defined, then measurement is going to be affected. In many instances, it says we will monitor and support the implementation of or advisory support or, for instance, establish and support plans developed and implemented for, but the nature of the support is not stated. It doesn't say to us how we're going to do support. In instances also it says uh, 92 municipalities across all provinces were supported to better manage spending on MIG. I've just opened up anywhere now. But what is that measured against? Is it... It must be all the municipalities, but which of the municipalities were the targeted municipalities? So what are we measuring it against? Are we measuring it against all the municipalities? Or on specific municipalities with the problems only. So yes, there's a lot of work in this document, Chair. But I think we need to see specific targets that are set. If we say number of district municipalities that we supported to improve MIG was 10, but how many did we set up? Was it only 10 that we set out to? I can't remember that one. Because it's easy then to say we've reached our target, but what was the initial amount that we went to? So I think that we need to see in the report, in the APPs. Also, I think when we in our previous meeting we asked for quarterly financial report, which we now have a report that's on the table. But in order to measure, or measurement doesn't only come in on finance, it also comes in on our targets. So our targets need to, I think, be more clearly defined here. But
thanks, Honorable Nelson. Honorable Bonhomme.
Personally, I think Madam Chair must compliment the staff of the work they've done. I think it's very good, and I'm not going to try and knock holes into it, but to encourage them and the work they're doing. And I think it's a lot of stuff you put in, so they need all the support there. they require. You know, I always look at, page 35, we talk about competence assessment models for senior managers who were developed together with database of staff members dismissed for misconduct developed by a master. I don't understand that part, really. Database of staff members dismissed, I understand that, but I don't know what else they're going to do with them. You know, I always wonder why is that they always talk about developing people. Why don't they use the kind of plan that's used throughout the world? They call it grow your own timber. Develop students who have capabilities, bring them in, and develop them within the governance, within the department itself. And after they complete their work, whatever they have to do, let them work on a few more years before they move on. Because one of the biggest mistakes I think we ever made was to do away with the idea of artisans and craftsmen. When that was done away, it came about bringing these new kind of system where you train workers in 6 weeks or 3 months. And that's where the disaster all happened. So they must seriously consider going back to the very basic way of have you had before, develop artisans and craftsmen and professional people the right way, not through this backdoor way. And you'll find out within the damage, most of the damage done, and you find that all the, especially the human settlements, housing, building areas, that the damage is done because of unskilled workers or workers who do not understand the trade, and they only put through a crash for the 6 weeks. So I think what our, what we should be start looking at bringing in the youngsters and training them, and will help bring about doing away with unemployment too. That's all I'd like to say.
Thanks, Anna, for speaking.
Thanks, Chair. I was going to say nothing, but since you sounded so surprised, I have to throw something into the pot. I was just looking at the presentation on the budget, and a couple of things struck me as unusual. I mean, I've never seen, I think it's very good, but I've never seen a budget presentation which speaks about Treasury's conditionalities before. And I wonder whether a little bit more information might not be useful, since it's the first time I've seen it anyway. I mean, condition three, what it seems to be saying is, you guys have got certain amounts of money, but it's conditional upon satisfying Treasury in respect of conditions 1 to 5. Now, number three says performance of Operation Clean Audit. What is the consequence of not meeting, say, the condition? What is the nature of the condition first? And then secondly, what is the consequence of not meeting it or any of the other conditions? And then secondly, more specifically, condition two, which I find quite interesting, submitting a strategy demonstrating a reduction of 1% of personnel costs each, well, it says personnel, I suppose it means personal costs. I don't know, actually that's a question there. Cost of personnel, and on a quarterly basis. Now, if you look at the normal budget document, this one here, whatever it's called, I mean, every program, without exception, is 100% manned, staffed. Every single program, 2, 3, 4, 5, all is in establishment post 75, no vacancies. All of them say the same thing, no vacancies. In fact, one department's eight over its establishment. So what does it mean to reduce it by 1%? What is the impact? And I don't really get it. I mean, if you're actually over 100% establishment, why do you have to reduce it by 1%? And then you spoke also of the figure, I think it's the very last slide, where you decried the fact that your operational budget goes from 452 million to 411. 411 is about a 10% reduction on the 450, but you're speaking about a 1% reduction of personnel costs. How does that reduction from 452 to 411 speak to the issue of the 1% reduction conditionality issue? Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Honourable.
I just want to say, Faith City is just one project, and number 8 is the cleaning community project, well on track, and there are many different initiatives, like Mercy,
I think my question is well understood. It's not from the finance, it's from the gentleman here. And the Mexican local municipality. I just want clarity on that one. Because I'm personally staying in Mexico, not the other things. I'm from there yesterday. And you can't even drive. There's it's a mess in the town. So when we say it's on track, what do we mean here? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. One of the mission of the department is the promotion of service delivery support through enabling mechanism and intergovernmental relations. I would say maybe I need to be corrected, because it's something which I'm sitting here and asking myself that here is a problem in terms of infrastructure development. I'm trying to find out how can I put it. Maybe let me say, how is the relation of the department, how do they relate with the Department of Public Works in terms of infrastructure development? Like, for instance, the portals, which wherever you go around the semi-urban areas, you'll be greeted by portals. And then secondly, on slide 39, where it says that the initiative to improve reporting of basic services through the coordination of sectors and stakeholders is likely not to be achieved because of challenges with regard to data accuracy. My question is, has it a challenge to the department? At this moment, is there any corrective measures which have been taken so that the past can may be corrected? Thank you.
Thanks, Honourable Nixon. Thanks. I want to pick up something else tonight. Just get my papers together. One issue, Chairperson, for instance, if we look at disaster management. If we look at the APPs of the previous year, 12-13, it says that we've achieved of these things. When you look at the expenditure analysis per program, it says that we've only spent 20.4%. But when we go to this particular document, page 11, it says on program-specific summary performance, it says we've reached 100%. Now, that to me says the targets that we have set cannot... it is not covering something. Because obviously this money that is in here that needs to be transferred to disaster areas to address the problems out there. But when you look at APPs, there's nothing that says anything about that in the APP. So I don't know if I'm reading it correctly, but this is my interpretation that I'm making out of this. So I want the department to talk to me to that one day. Either set my mind on the correct track, or say I'm out of order, Shepherd, in the way I'm thinking.
But to me, it doesn't speak to one another. When you go further, check. Look at page 41. On infrastructure and economic development. This says to me that these are the APPs for the next financial year, 13-14. And we say in order to achieve the strategic objectives identified by the department, we'll implement the following priorities. But when you read through this, then it says it exceeded so much and we will pay more attention to what are we going to measure. Are we going to just say that whatever is over and above that, or whatever exceeds in the next financial year, would that be 100% achievement? I don't know if what I'm looking at is something says to me there's a cut and paste chairperson, because if you look at it's speaking in the past tense. And you can't speak in the past tense for something that you select to do. It says, 50 minutes policy supported to improve access to the pre-religion policies by zone. You couldn't have, you need to support them. You couldn't have supported. It says, develop new meat policies, develop to. Or is it being written in a way that by the end of the 13-14, we would have developed? But we aim to achieve. We can't write in the past tense if we still aim to achieve. So I may be out of order in thinking that some of these things have just been taken over and put in. So please correct me, Chair. But the National Disaster Management one for me doesn't go down well, because we're not measuring something in terms of. Or we're not talking to the amount of money which we need to distribute, let alone ensure that they're following the rand off the direction. Right.
So on page 39, just the first paragraph number one, it says the initiative to improve the reporting of basic services through the coordination of sectors and stakeholders is likely not to be achieved because of challenges with regard to data accuracy. Now, what I want to understand is, you know, the impression we get here is that it's going to remain like that, you know. There's not going to be any achievement on it because of the inaccuracy of data now. Are we not having people who can work with numbers and get this right so that the reporting can be done? Why should it be left because of this, unachieved because of this? Thank you.
Thanks, Honourable Member. I just want to, before maybe I hand over for responses, to get into some few questions on budget analysis. I've noted under I don't remember which sub-program, but under office accommodation. I just want to check, maybe to suggest something. From the budget allocation of the previous financial year and the budget allocation for this financial year has increased. Last financial year was 30.4 million, this year 32.1 million. I just want to check with this, I think I can name it as overuse or paid in our coffers. Is there any possibilities maybe that the department can look? Is the law or the allows us to look for a alternative land and build the department's offices of this amount in a year so that we'll deal about that? And I'm talking like a street person who will look these figures and say with this amount you can build our own posh offices than leasing. I just want to check on that view. Wendy has covered me on disaster management. In our last year's presentation, we noted that there was a slight decrease, but this year the allocation of disaster management has increased. But when taking consideration of inflation rate, which will end up to 22% decrease, that will the increase that has been allocated for disaster has been decreased. Yet we note that there was an understanding with some certain recommendations of saying that the evaluation processes delayed this issue. There are some other issues that have been taken on board in some other provinces. But I think I'll urge the department to look at this and taking into consideration the changing of climate change and all the disasters we've seen in provinces under administration. Also, budget allocation for this financial year is decreased. Last year was 205.4 million. This year it's 201.4, which in our last year's presentation, the presentation we received from the department was that there were some still adjustments, restructuring department and filling of vacant posts. Is this the budget that has been allocated? And also, this one also can be affected by inflation rate. It's okay for the department that everything will be sorted out with filling in the vacancies, staff, the security issues we discussed in the department. And also under policy research, in our last year's presentation, we noted that it has poorly performed. In terms of, I've heard in the presentation, you made note that you've assisted municipalities in some other issues, but on legislation formulation, it has performed very poor. Until maybe this time around, we'll be having more legislation responding, maybe some of them, to the State of the Nation Address. And also, I just the minister to or a person will respond to talk a bit about that one. But also on me, we've noted that we understand. I repeat this one. Under the 92 municipalities that you assisted to better the use of MIG, I just want to check if you go back and assess your intervention and to assist those municipalities, have been able now out of this, the outcome of this financial year, have been able to utilize their MIG funding. There will be no outstanding matters or to divert those MIG funding to other things. Maybe I can pause in here. I'll get in if there are some, because there are still some other questions that I need to raise. Thanks. May you want to come in the second part?
Maybe I'm becoming confused or whatever. Page 17, bullet 3. It says research reports on service delivery projects are also being produced on monthly basis. I just want to find out if they are produced on monthly basis, what then thereafter? Is it a norm that they come to the department? Can the department just maybe clarify or give me a clarity what happens if they get this service delivery protest? Or maybe if they attend to them, is there any two or three municipalities that have protested, that has been attended to, what has been done to the very department? Or what is happening after receiving this service delivery report? Can we get clarity on that one? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Tisayo. I give over to the minister. For
thank you very much, Chairperson. On the issue of the targets not clearly defined, I think we should make colleagues an additional effort to deal with that. I mean, it's straightforward because the targets remain a guide for oversight. And if there is any indication that in some areas we are not clear, I think we need to provide that clarity. What we may have to request is for honorable members to indicate specifically, it may not be at this meeting, to indicate specifically in terms of areas where they need more clarity. I think we should provide that clarity.
Yes, sir, then, Minister, just want to cite one example.
Yes.
When presented here, you said you have 71 projects.
Yes.
That in place, 53 achieved and the like, but they are not specified. Yeah, if I'm new in this committee and maybe like I said, I won't know what is it. It's only numbers, but we don't know which project.
Oh, you're quite right. And I think in providing such details, we should also, as we mentioned, link them to specific provinces. So that you may be having 71 projects, but they are concentrated in one area. For oversight purposes, it may not be very helpful. I think we need to provide that such information. Why only some municipalities are targeted? Officials may come in also to provide more details there. But I thought maybe if these are municipalities that are prioritized and not that is targeted, because we operate when we speak about the 108 municipalities is based on the resolve to give priority to those municipalities that are said to be falling under the 23 districts in distress. But if there are other additional information, I think you may have to come onto this governor and colleagues. We thank Chairperson for the committee for the honourable member raising that the quarterly financial report submission is welcome. We definitely need to stick to that. And in fact, because on a monthly basis, the minister then says what goes into a quarter report is what is in a happening monthly. Because I at my level indicated that they need to submit monthly reports. It might be necessary that we also do that. That will help even in terms of a snap debate, like in the form of question, so that you are not waiting for a quarter, but you can then see two issues like those, Mr. Smith. So I think you like that point. So I think we need to do that. The issue around the database of all dismissed municipalities developed, I think officials may also come to that, but my understanding is that when we amended the Public Service Act in 2008, that took care in terms of the areas around the appointment of managers who are dismissed from some areas in order to avoid a situation where a person will be dismissed at the provincial level but can be appointed at the national level. I thought maybe that is meant for that, but you may also come in to deal with these issues. On the issue of relations with public works, I think we'll do that. Can you deal with this issue of disaster management, the issue of not reconciliation between expenditure and performance? in terms of targets and what is achieved. The expression of what we want to achieve in past tense is a developed practice where you say by this time this will be achieved. Say for instance 2014 Operation Clean Audit achieved. It's a developed, I'm not saying it's a code, but a developed way of writing. Come again. Yeah, so then they by this time, this will have been achieved. I think it's a communication jargon that may be managed. I think we need to deal with that. So that it doesn't. We have to communicate clearly that the person doesn't have to check as to what does this mean, you know. So that, but that is then established practice, and I had some challenges with that, and I was indoctrinated or socialized into getting it. you must see that you're going there. Okay. Now the issue about data accuracy also I'm interested in knowing what you mean there. The leasing and versus the building of this property, where you find the amount translate to be almost the same. I think it's what drives us to say we rather have our own facility, because if the cost is more or less the same, we definitely have to deal with that. There's a project maybe when officials respond, they will actually talk to us that a decision taken in fact in 2008 that you need to have one department at one place. Not have one part of it is in 87 Hamilton Street, the other one is Pencadia one, the other one is Pencadia 2. Which is the situation as it is. Just that there was a project, I'm told now the DGs have managed to address that one. There was one project that was stalled, if we may like, since 2008, but it's addressed now. There was one to have one department or one portfolio in one ministry in one building, so that it eases out in terms of issues around the coordination. Just the other officials who respond to, let me just talk to protests that I handled. We were required to give an example of two. Let me not multiply this figure by four. Just talk about two well-known cases. Sterk Strait in the Eastern Cape. There was a decision to sustain what was referred to as a shutdown, where the community was protesting, decided to roll out a program of shutdown for a period of a month, where there will be no schooling, mobility will be grounded to a halt because they were blocking the roads. The municipality was not allowed to render services. It was a serious matter that unfortunately led to the loss of the life of one young man. We got involved in dealing with these issues. As we're standing now, of course the demand was that they wanted their own municipality, and they wanted the municipality, the current municipality, to be disbanded. We managed to engage the both the community and government there up to a point of signing a ceasefire agreement, to call it Marumo Pamaro, giving a period of 3 months to deal with those issues. So as we're speaking now, the situation is normal in the area. Two municipalities, Mwate and Mesmaul, otherwise known as Zamdela in Sasolbek. We got involved. The issue there was having something to do with the demarcation, where clearly a consultation was found wanting in the process. It's common knowledge in terms of what we did. So far, the situation is under control. Of course, I'm raising this mindful of the fact that last week Friday, they were protesting the same area, still active. But now the main focus is a different matter, the one the mayor out. So it's not just a question of dealing with the team, but it's attending to them. We're attending to quite a number of them. Because we have to, why we keep also information about those is that there are some so-called service delivery protests that are not service delivery related. But they are related to some other things. So you have these issues that you spoke about. Like it was possibly by the intervention of the Almighty that in Serendam here in the Western Cape, there was no person who was injured or killed. Everything was said to be serious delivery related, but there was nothing serious delivery related. It was political. So that's why we're dealing with this issue. Thank you. And then the whole thing came.
Thanks, Chair. The respective Deputy Director General will respond to the questions. But I just want to add to what the Minister said with regards to the targets that cannot be measured. Well, what we did, the Auditor General gave us a report, a management letter telling us that our targets are not smart. So as a department, we underwent an exercise of ensuring that we adhere to the smart criteria and our targets. So what I'm saying is that in the annual performance plan itself, the quarterly targets, the targets themselves are smart. They adhere to the smart criteria. Just that on our presentation, we didn't elaborate when we're saying support, what is it that we're saying we're going to do as project managers within the department. So I'm saying, what I'm saying is that area is covered in terms of what the AG also recommended.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, and the Minister. Just to go back, the Honourable Members will recall last year when we did the presentation on the National Disaster Management Centre, we had the Treasury with us, and the differentiation between what the department's budget is for our operational expenditure, which is aligned to our APP, is about in the vicinity of 50 million. The 500 and over million, the 510 million relates to relief funding, which is a conditional grant. And that funds, we can only distribute those funds or recommend the distribution of those funds, which is ultimately approved by the Treasury for immediate relief funding. As and when we do get requests for those immediate relief funding, we do the proper analysis and we take it forward. And the honourable members will also see that compared to the previous financial years, this year we spent quite considerable amount in terms of 74 million versus the 15 million that we spent in the previous financial years. Also to say, to circumvent this problem that we are having in terms of that fund, the honourable members would have seen as one of our targets is the amendment of the Disaster Management Act, which is now a bill. It's precisely in conjunction with the National Treasury to try and address this problem and in terms of the Act make certain proposals and amendments so that in fact that the utilization of that fund can be broadened, that it's not only for immediate relief fund as and when there's some occurrence that happens that is declared as a disaster. So I think that is in essence the differentiation between the 510 million and the 50 million. The 50 million is linked to our APP projects, and on the members will see that with the exception of the environments that still have to take place when once the financial year is finalized with the CFO, I think our targets, that we've met our targets, and they are in line with the actual expenditure that we do have.
On behalf of Honorable Machoba, I just want to ask a follow-up question. In that 74 million you've spent, in his repeated question, in his absence, I'm repeating it again. What have you done? And have you engaged yourself in an investigation in those claims or interventions that you are supposed to do since 2009, especially in Eastern Cape? That is his question.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. One of the issues that is determined in terms of the Disaster Management Act, that we do have a process of monitoring and evaluation to, in fact, deal with that. And we now have a monitoring and evaluation unit in the Disaster Management Center that has been established in February, and we have a head of that specific unit, and as you would have seen in our APP for the current year, is to put a framework in place, is also to try and follow the RAND, because when we do an analysis of the expenditure and we go back to the Treasury every time, the same questions are asked. Are we in fact getting value for our money? Infrastructure that's being built, you find that when there's any occurrences of any natural disasters and you go back, you find that, by example, a school has been rebuilt, but the nature of the work that's been done, the next time there's a strong wind or a flood, that same school has to be rebuilt again. And it's to put mechanisms in place to, in fact, follow that. And we are creating the capacity to do that and to make sure. Also, in conjunction with the proposals in the amendment bill, there are clear guidelines that we are putting forward in terms of monitoring and evaluation, and a committee that's also being set up that does a proper evaluation and analysis of the reconstruction work that is taking place and how the money is in fact being spent. From the initial analysis that we do have, the amounts of money that we do allocate is the progress in spending is very slow. So that we are putting mechanisms in place, and it is in fact happening.
If he is here, you are not going to be satisfied with your response. If he is here, let's continue this response.
And on his behalf, can we say that we need to, for the reply can to be acceptable, to provide some more details. We don't have to wait for the day we come back to present, to address the portfolio committee, but to submit the report in writing in terms of exactly what we're doing there, how far we are in terms of each, because it shouldn't take us a week to put in place a mechanism. Sure.
That's it. Thanks, Chairperson. Thanks, Minister. If I may start with the 92 municipalities and add to what the minister said, and the criteria of choosing which municipalities we want to support. What we do as a department, we look at the expenditure patterns of each municipality, and we say, for instance, for those municipalities that are underspending the MIG by, say, more than 5% of the transfers, then those municipalities will be targeted for support or intervention. It's not necessarily the 92, necessarily the 108 targeted municipalities, but are those municipalities that is, at a specific time are underspending their MIG, and they get targeted and given that support. And in terms of the reports that we are receiving, is that once, because we also use some sort of a baton to say if we are not improving the expenditure, we'll ask Treasurer to withhold the next transfer. And once those interventions happen, then we'll see that the municipalities do improve in terms of their expenditure. And as you look at the transfers, we did transfer 100% of the allocated funds in the previous financial year. We are looking at the current situation now in terms of their financial year, which is ending in June. The next question from the Honourable Smith is the mandatory reductions of 1% and how are they impacting in the overall operational budget. The mandatory reductions were 1% in this current financial year, 2% next financial year, and 3% in the outer year. And on slide 46, we have reflected what we have lost in terms of that. But if you look at slide 49 now, where our allocations for 2014-15 is even less than what it was in 13-14, this also, we have lost more because it's 2%, that also accounts for that. But also, that goods and services also include projects that have got a time frame. That in this particular year, that is 2014, those projects have not been included because they have been completed. And for that, we reduce the budget if there are no projects to be undertaken. And that accounts for that reduction. But we did give Treasurer back the 2% that they requested, irrespective, because that was whether your budget is less than last year, the 2% was what is allocated at that particular moment. So that is accounted by that. The second question relates to the conditions that were placed by Treasurer when they allocate and they gave us the allocations. The allocations are not dependent on us fulfilling these conditions. Perhaps it's the wording. It's not conditions actually. It's actually requirements that you have to follow up as we proceed during the financial year. The allocations themselves are free of any conditions, but you are expected to do these things that they have given us, and this is what we intend doing. The 1% is a little bit difficult because it's in terms of numbers and in terms of figures. So we need to demonstrate to them how we're going to do it. Either it's natural attrition of staff that we may not replace, or I don't know, but what they're expecting us is to put up a strategy that, because this is a national call, that government as a whole must reduce their wage bill by these percentages. So as a department, we're expected to do that like all other departments. As I say, it's a difficult one. As I was talking earlier about us meeting the requirement of following the rent, but we also expected to make sure that our numbers in terms of personnel are 1% by 1%, and the figures are also in line with that for us to answer this call. And I think... Thank you.
I know who can speak about jargon, but really figures and numbers, we're not talking about 1%.
Okay, personal numbers, that is how many people are there in the employment.
Yeah.
And when I talk figures, it's actually, what is it? What is it, right? the expenditure part of it. But we need to also reduce, taking into account that the improvement of conditions of employment, but they also want to see those linkages. The office accommodation, I think the Honourable Minister has attended to it, is something that we are looking at it, and we are not happy with the current situation because it's not sustainable, and it's something that perhaps should give a progress report to the committee as we move forward in trying to implement that. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thanks, Chair and Honourable Members. There was also a question on the accuracy of the data on basic service. This is a matter that has always been a challenge due to the different sectors using sort of their own systems for measuring backlogs and then also performance in terms of access and so on. But I think what we've done now to try and address this area, using, of course, basing ourselves on the latest census data from StatsSA, that StatsSA is the actual authority in government that provides for this information. So all the sectors, there's a task team that has been established to work on the issue of ensuring that all sector departments use the same data that is guided by that authority, so that we don't have each sector using its own statistics and so on, but we have one sort of government source in relation to this. This also relating to the next question on the relationship of the department with other sector departments that are involved in the infrastructure development. All the departments that are covered by the municipal infrastructure grant, that there are institutional structures that have been established to ensure that when it comes to issues of basic services regarding norms and standards, implementation support, monitoring of expenditure, that all the departments work collaboratively. So issues of potholes and so on will be addressed in the context of the work of that task team. Chairperson, you also raised the question around on the policy research that it has poorly performed due to the number of legislations that were not formulated. Maybe just to give the context.
They are there, but the targets that they can put have not made. It means that the problem of advancing that target that would defend the target. But having idea to formulate those legislation informed by policy was there. The only thing that is the implementation of advancing the targets and bringing those legislation before the people. That's why we're saying we're measuring it as it has poorly performed.
And I think the other questions would relate more to the support Chairperson, that the department is providing through MISA in terms of the maintenance, non-financials, and also those municipalities that are underspending, whether there's any improvement in those areas. I think we continue through MISA to provide support in those areas. On the service delivery process, I think the Minister has touched on this issue. But just to say that the research unit also, based on the incidences of certain protests, would do an analysis in terms of what are the challenges, the causes, and over and above the interventions and support that we receive from the Minister, we have also your service delivery facilitators that are interacting closely with these municipalities where the incidences of protest. Thanks, sir.
I'm told there is an error on slide 41, number 2, where the implementation that says that 48 municipalities are assisted in terms of the CWP, I'm told with 106. That is the correction. Not the power, 104. So that's not the power. Is that correct?
Yeah.
If we have done a couple that we don't have necessarily a lunch time, but by 15 minutes we have our working lunch, you just got something to eat, we come inside for 15 minutes. Now it's 4 minutes past, but 20 past 2, let's come back.
Oh,
okay. Okay. 15 minutes.
Contaminated.